You're listening to the Creator Passport Podcast. I think one of the biggest reasons creators quit honestly has nothing to do with the algorithm. Most people are trying to fix strategy before they fix their mindset. And the scary part is if you don't identify the real reason you're frustrated, you're going to start repeating the same cycle forever. We've started to see this a lot in our one-on-ones and with different students that we are coaching. So today we thought we would talk about this topic and help you overcome a few of these mountains that we keep coming up with over and over again. So with that, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Hi, we're Giselle and Steven, and in just over 5 years, we have grown our business to over 1.8 million followers across platforms and over seven figures as content creators and digital entrepreneurs. This is a podcast that shows you success isn't just about algorithms and trends, but how strategy, creativity, and mindset will help you grow and scale your own personal brand beyond your wildest dreams. This is the Creator Passport Podcast. Welcome back and happy Friday. Woohoo! I honestly don't know if most people listen to this on Fridays, but every day is a Friday, you know? We're gonna run with that. One topic that G and I were discussing today on our walk that we've both been doing a lot of one-on-ones, a lot of coaching, a lot of big coaching calls, and this topic of I love my favorite quote, which is excuses are like belly buttons. Everyone's got one and yours stinks. And today we're really going to dive into like what is categorized an excuse when you are blaming things like views or brands for not working with you or just your growth. We're really going to talk about like what most people are saying and what most creators are saying and what we say instead. Because I think it just takes a little reframing to understand how to start growing and how to come out of these. Because it's really easy to get down in the dump and just consistently blame other things. But today we want to help you figure out why you're blaming. Like, what does that actually mean and how can you solve that internally? Because I think that was one of the biggest breakthroughs that we were able to have. And it's helped us continue to grow, and not just with the Lover's Passport, but with also multiple other businesses.
I think a lot of people, when you're looking at like why things aren't working, you do a good job of addressing the symptoms, but not the root cause. And so I guess today we're kind of going to chat on like what the root cause that you're potentially avoiding for one reason or another really could be, and kind of how to stop addressing the symptoms and really start working on that deeper problem so that you don't get stuck in the same cycles over and over and over again and continually get frustrated about the same things within your content creation business.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is a hard line to hear, but I feel like honestly, a lot of people think or treat the algorithm like a punching bag or like an emotional punching bag. Just every problem or everything that could possibly be wrong with their own content or them doing the hard work, they throw at the algorithm. And it's just so much easier, isn't it?
To say it's the algorithm's fault? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like it's a really easy scapegoat because for a few different reasons. It protects your ego. It makes you feel like there could be nothing ever possibly wrong with your content. And I feel like, did you ever have that friend like that when you were kids? Like, I used to have this one kid, Seth, and this kid would beat the crap out of everyone at school, and I hated this kid. And then every time I would complain to my mom, would complain to his mom, be like, dude, Seth keeps beating on Steven. Like, you need, his mom was like, oh, it's okay, they're just boys. And I'm like, bro, this is not, you know, like the moms would always make a scapegoat for the kid. It always come up with some excuse.
Well, like, oh, not my little angel. And I'm like, never
no,
do that.
Dude, your kid's just a dirt bag. Like that, it's not a, and I feel like as a parent, maybe it's hard to understand that, but I don't know. I feel like that's kind of the same thing with content, is you're always looking for it. You got to protect your ego or protect the kid. You
in
know?
Communication, we call it the external attribution error.
Wow, that sounds so much fancier than me over here.
Well, there's certain assumptions. It's kind of like when people, there's two different ways of looking at blaming and excuses, right? There's the external attribution, which is like if someone is late to work and they blame traffic, right? That's like an external factor. Whereas if someone was late to work and you were looking at internal attributions, oh, that person's just lazy. They don't care about work. They're not invested in the culture. Like, so it's two different ways of kind of going about that.
Yeah. And I feel like it like, obviously it makes it so you get to keep your ego. It removes all of your responsibility. And I feel like this is a big thing, is it almost creates this like validation in the community, especially if you're on Threads.
It's like a common enemy. Everyone loves to bond over a common enemy.
Exactly. Like, everyone's just like, Instagram sucks right now. And that video, that thread is going to get like 1,000 likes. Everyone's like, heck yeah, I hate Mosri. And it's like, bro,
no. That's why I'm not on Threads.
It's so bad. But I feel like if you continue to blame outward things and you continue to say that, like, is anything really, like, if you continue to blame the algorithm, is anything going to change?
Probably not.
Exactly. It's like you can't improve the things that
are out of your control.
Exactly. Like, you need to at some point take ownership of it. And I think this is where G and I want to go today, is really understanding, like, instead of always just blaming the algorithm, maybe, yes, once a quarter, maybe
like when there's a big glitch,
shift. Yeah, period. There's a big shift, totally valid. But every day, like, I was on a coaching call and for 15 minutes I was trying to talk this person out of it, and they were like, the algorithm hates me. I post a carousel, fails. I post a reel, it tanks. I post a story, no one watches it. It just hates me. Instagram hates me. And I'm like, the more you say that, the more you're going to believe it. And it makes you feel good, right? It makes you feel like your content is perfect and everything is going, there's no, absolutely zero blame on
there's
you.
There's no, because if you were to reverse that, it's very uncomfortable to be like, instead of Instagram hates me, the algorithm hates me, it's whatever. Like, that's an external thing. The second you say, oh, like, people aren't resonating with my content and that's a reflection on me, and that can become very uncomfortable. So, and nobody ever wants to sit in that, which,
I mean, it's so uncomfortable. I mean, I'll literally, this just happened actually. Like, I gave someone an Instagram audit, gave them feedback, and they went ballistic and were like posting on Instagram and were like, this is the worst thing. They think my content is trash, blah, blah, blah. And then people in the comments were like, well, I mean,
here, you do have some things to work on. And she just went off on those people too.
Yeah, it was so crazy.
Like, that honestly is a huge, and people ask all the time of like, how can we kind of predict if a student's going to be successful or not? And coachability and ownership is probably the number one most important thing we're looking at when it comes to successful creators, is the ability to take advice and receive it, not take it personally, and be able to adapt and move forward with feedback. And that's really hard. I mean, especially as someone myself, I hate getting negative feedback. I am a people pleaser, recovering. We're recovering. I'm going to say that. I don't want to say I'm continuing. I'm in therapy for people pleasing, you guys. Okay.
People pleasing.
I am in therapy for it. We're working on it. Okay. We're working on boundaries. And
you know, there's AA. You're in PPA.
I'm in people pleasing anonymous. And it's really hard to take feedback that isn't good. And it's because for me, I would always associate it with my worth. And like, oh, if someone doesn't like something I'm doing, they don't like a piece of content, my carousel doesn't do well, my stories aren't getting views. The far end of the spectrum outside of blaming the algorithm is you blame yourself for everything. And you're like, I'm not good enough. That's basically like what my brain would extrapolate to of like, okay, well, I spent hours making these carousels perfect. I made all these beautiful photos and it took forever and I posted and it totally flopped. Well, I guess I'm just not good enough. And that's like the far end, right? So we don't want you swinging on that end, and we don't want you swinging on the end of, you know, I'm perfect. I could do no wrong. My content is so 100% amazing. I can't even improve it. That it's not performing well. So therefore, the Instagram algorithm hates me. Those are the two extremes. And we want to find balance in the middle of that, where you can say, all right, I can improve on some things. I can try and make my content 1% better every single day, even if I have a million followers. And I don't have to make everything a reflection of my self-worth. And I can take constructive feedback from data and also from like my audience and always try and make it better without having like a negative association with like not feeling like I'm worth it or I'm enough for my audience.
And I feel like you, like, we don't see this just with content creator. We see it everywhere. Like in our, on our personal team, like when we're working with employees and stuff, if let's say I gave a team member feedback and was like, oh, you did it this way, but in next time I would really love you to do it this way. If they try and argue and say, no, this way's better, or push
like,
back.
You're the problem. Like,
exactly.
Not me.
Like that is the mindset, or that's what we're talking about here. Of it's obviously difficult, but in the end, what they really should say is like, totally understand. Next time I'll adjust it.
Like,
and that's
noted.
All that.
Got it.
And then
good.
Same thing, like we're in a mastermind, right? And it's funny, we'll have a session, and then at the end of the day, we'll all go out for dinner and drinks, and we're talking, and we all talk about how one of the most frustrating things or hardest things to watch is when you have been in someone's situation, you've told them, hey, this is what you should do,
well,
or this is what...
To preface this, before you jump into this, they have specifically asked for coaching. It's not unsolicited. They sit there, they have a problem, and then the whole room, who is a genius room, full of millionaires that are phenomenal leaders and business owners, and they're asking for advice. And so, like Steven was saying, everyone in the room gives advice. And then what happens?
And then basically you give a piece of advice and they're like, oh, I've tried that before. Or no, I already did that and it didn't work. Like most of the time, maybe you did try it and maybe you didn't work, but once again, is there a way that you could have improved it? Like, I think coming back to content, a couple things to think about is maybe your content simply wasn't strong enough yet. So instead of blaming the algorithm, maybe you can make your content 1% better. Or sometimes you haven't put in enough reps. If you've only posted for
one
a month
voiceover,
or 3 months or even 6 months, like I just read this article on Mr. Beast, and they said that he's posted over 2,000 long form videos. 2,000, you guys. Think about posting 2,000 YouTube videos. And out of all of those, only 23 of them were the ones that really exploded his page. Those were the needle movers. And even if you look at our page, like we have 1.2 million followers. We've posted every single day for over 4 years now. We've been doing this for 6 years. And even then, out of all of those 6 years, there was probably a dozen,
maybe two dozen videos
that actually made the needle move. So you probably just aren't doing it enough. There was one person that we were coaching and they were like, yeah, I can't grow. I've been stuck at right under 100K for years and just nothing. And I was like, okay, well, how often are you posting? Are you doing trial reels or how many platforms? They're like, well, I'm only posting on one platform. And if I'm really good that week, I'll get out 2 weeks. And I'm like,
two posts.
And then it's like, well, we're posting 45 times a week across 5 different platforms. Of course you're not growing. It's because you're not doing enough. Like sometimes, so that's the first part. And thinking
but hold
about-
on. I want to touch on that too, because I was on a coaching call the other day, like a one-on-one call. And I've seen this over and over and over again of basically we see the future of brand deals moving into a lot more like voice-driven or talking head-driven kind of personality-ish content styles because of the age of AI and authenticity and all that kind of stuff. Every single major brand we have worked with in the last like 6 months has asked us to do a voiceover video. And so we're encouraging people to start getting comfortable posting voiceovers, because that is, if you want to monetize, at least in the travel niche, we see like more and more brands wanting the experience told via voiceover format instead of montages. And so if you're not training your audience already that way, when if you're just doing like the viral trending stuff and you're not incorporating yourself, your voice, your face at all, it's gonna be really hard for you to monetize down the line. So we're telling the student that she needs to do more voiceovers. And what I commonly hear, because this is not just this one person, this is like hundreds of people have come back to me, been like, but I posted a voiceover and it completely tanked, and so I don't want to post one anymore. I'm like, you just posted it once? And they'll say, yeah, that's it, then I'm done. Or like, you know, maybe 2 to 3 times. Like, no, you guys, zoom out at the grand scale of things. If you just post one style of content once, do you know how many opportunities you're missing to improve it. And then also just think, like, maybe it's your first time posting a voiceover, so you don't have the reps yet. Your script probably wasn't optimized yet. Your audience is not familiar with doing voiceovers yet, so they're not primed to it. What else? You probably weren't super comfortable recording, and it's probably showing up in your audio. You probably could have gotten a better mic or run it through Adobe Podcast Enhance to make it sound better. Like, there's so many other factors that could have contributed to that piece of content not doing well. And for you to just say, you know what? No, Instagram did not like my voiceover. I'm not going to try again. You need to be putting out, like I just wrote a whole newsletter on it. Totally flopped for us when we started doing voiceovers. It took like 10 to 12 times of doing voiceover videos before the first one finally started hitting over a couple hundred thousand views. But now they are like our top converting piece of content. All of our brand deals want it. Like, they are huge. But we just kept going. We just kept pushing past it. It wasn't super comfortable in the beginning because you see those negative analytics, or like they're not as good as what your viral content will do per se. And that can be a hit on the ego to be like, oh, like I'm showcasing more of myself and my voice and it's more of me. And that starts showing up in the ego a little bit more when the content doesn't do as well, versus like a montage where you just put a trending audio and some like POV hook on it, right? Like, that is a lot lower risk because you personally are not being seen. Like, you are not putting your personality, your voice out there. And so when you post a piece of voiceover content, it can be like a lot more like punch to the gut when it doesn't do well because it is associated with yourself. So that's just like a side tangent there of like, particularly when it comes to reps and the algorithm and voiceovers and the future of where I see content creation moving a lot, you do just need to push past that and know posting a style, an editing, like a new editing style, a new content production, like piece, aesthetic, whatever, new hooks. If you just post it once, that's not enough. You got to keep going. You got to push past the uncomfortable and continue to get better. Like, think, how can I make this content better every single time?
Yeah. I mean, if you expected to post five voiceovers and those five voiceovers were going to bring you or make you a full-time creator, of course you're frustrated. Like, that's, it's not reality.
I mean, it's the same thing on YouTube. Like, we have been posting YouTube for 5 years now, or like, no, 6 years, 6 years. We started in 2020, the same time we started our other two platforms. And I would get so frustrated because we would spend so much time on these long form videos. Like, we've posted a long form video for the last 6 years, like very consistently. And the first year I was getting frustrated, but I look back at those videos and they were not the best. We needed to work on our hooks. We needed to work on our thumbnails. We needed to work on our titles. There were so many things that we needed to improve. And instead of just being like, oh, YouTube hates me, I'm not going to like post anymore, or I'm just going to hope that I magically grow, whatever, I was really strategic about it and like, okay, how can we make this better? So I took a little program on title creation and thumbnail creation. I invested in softwares. I'm trying to consistently get better and make a process every single time. And now 5 years later, we're finally getting like the momentum and we're hopefully about to hit 100,000 subscribers over there in the next month or two. So that's just another side piece. Like, it's not just on one platform where this applies. It applies across all social medias and even in your life, like outside of content creation.
So we want to start really talking about the root cause. And this is something that I feel like is what we really work on in like one-on-ones or like any more high tier mentorship, is figuring out what is the root cause of this feeling. Like, for instance, one of the feelings that I think a lot of creators go through is comparison. Like, I'm sure that you said someone smaller than me is getting way better views than
or
I am.
Or I can't believe this person got the partnership over me. Like, their content isn't as good as mine.
So I want you to try and figure out what is actually happening behind the scenes when you say that. Is it, number one, are you feeling behind? Like, maybe someone smaller than you is getting better views. And you're like, man, am I just super far behind? Are you just jealous? Is it maybe jealousy is popping up for you? And maybe it's not just content creation, but maybe jealousy pops up in other parts of your life. Is it questioning your self-worth? Like, Are you questioning if you're good or not? Are you attaching your views to value? Like if you think I'm getting less views, so I feel like I can't charge anything, so I'm going to lower my rates. So I want you to try and really understand like what is actually making you feel that way. And as soon as you identify that, that's something you can actually control. Because I think a lot of people try and control things that are out of their control. If you said someone smaller than me is getting better views, then think, can you control the algorithm? No.
Can you control their views?
No. Then what can you control? Can you control how, if you're going to get jealous or not? Absolutely.
Can you control if you're going to show up every day? Yep.
Exactly. So it's just like leaning into what are the things, why am I feeling this way? And what can I actually control?
I think a really, or like something I've been stewing on recently is one of our friends.
Good word, stewing.
One of our good friends, Mana, posted I think it was like an ad actually, but her whole topic was on the concept of mirrors. And it also, for my Swifties, the song Mirror Ball kind of ties into the same topic of as you grow. From the like big creator standpoint, the more visible you become, the more of a mirror you become for other people. And when they see your success, you are suddenly showing them all these insecurities and like subconscious beliefs about themselves, and it's triggering them. And so if you like, I actually find myself occasionally looking at creators in different niches or like bigger than me, et cetera. And I find myself occasionally jealous, and I have to stop myself and be like, whoa, why are you feeling this way? And so if you find yourself scrolling and something's coming up for you, I think it's a really good idea to like kind of journal about it, write it down. If you're in therapy, maybe talk about it in therapy. But I think that's one thing that's really important, because if you constantly have these feelings, no matter what you do, it's not going to feel like enough for you. Like no views are going to feel enough. No brand deals are going to feel enough, and so on and so forth. So it just note, like if you, I think that's a big thing. If you look at someone else who you aspire to be like, and you're constantly feeling jealous, it's probably a reflection on something underneath the surface you haven't really processed yet.
Yeah. And I think that going into that, it's something that you can really control and work on. Just like G was saying, all of the big jumps in our business have not been from us learning one hook or us learning this new email that we're going to send. It's really been like us growing as a person. And when we identify these things in our business or these things that are affecting us, and we're like, why do we feel this way? Oh, it's because of this. Let me just work on that particular piece of myself, and it's going to help your business thrive so much more. Because you need to think, or one saying you can keep in the back of your head is like, comparison with anything is the thief of joy, right? It's just going to be emotional torture for you if you're constantly comparing, and you never really know like all of these factors behind the scenes, right? You don't know their story. Like for instance, if someone was comparing themselves to us in the very beginning, and we're having all these partners when we only had 3,000 followers, they might have not known that Giselle worked as a marketing director and pitched and knew how to understand what a good media kit looked like and knew how much to charge and knew all of these things in the beginning.
Yeah, I had a leg up.
Exactly. And you never know, like some of our students have worked in TV and film before, and they understand what good storytelling is, and they have a much easier time telling a good story and tying it to each other when maybe you have never recorded a video before and you might be a couple steps behind. And will it take you longer to get to that success? Absolutely.
Not everyone's supposed to be on that exact same timeline. Like there is no same timeline for any creator.
Exactly.
And then also just like a tactical thing, I think if you're really struggling with comparison and you're constantly checking other people's analytics, block them. Do not even allow yourself to look at their page. Like, yes, it might be a little weird at first for you to do that, especially if they're like a friend. But I would say if it's for your mental health, just block them, because otherwise you are not holding yourself accountable.
And I think another big thing when it comes to kind of this root cause of frustration or understanding like, okay, I'm feeling this way, is one of them is just kind of you're setting unrealistic expectations for yourself.
I think a lot of people start content creation because they think it's going to be so easy, because they only see like the results, right? You see the luxury hotels, you see the brand trips, the press trips, getting paid a lot, like, but a lot of creators have no idea how much work it is behind the scenes. And that's honestly, I mean, we started this podcast for a reason. It's to really show the unfiltered side of being a creator on the other side of things, because Instagram is not the like behind the scenes unaesthetic place to do that. But a lot of people will not talk about how much work it is on the back end. And so then people who jump into this that are brand new have no idea how like long it takes and how much work it takes and the grind it is in the beginning to get yourself established in the industry. And they just expect results overnight. And then they get so frustrated because they didn't grow 10,000 followers after posting for a whole month.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, we were in the same boat. I remember that, like, when we first started, I was like, okay, it's going to take us like 3 months to hit 10,000 followers, and we're just going to do it right away. And that was my version of success. When in reality, after 3 months, we weren't even close. We hadn't even hit like 500 followers by the time of 3 months.
To hit 1,000, baby.
Yeah, and same thing, like people look at 10, we used to do it too. We would look at 10,000 followers, people were like, man, if I hit 10,000 followers, I'm gonna be making so much money. That is where it's at. And I'm sure when we hit it, and I'm sure if you hit 10,000 followers, you're like, you know, it's not as crazy as I thought it was up here.
If you tie a number with success, like I was kind of saying earlier, you are literally never going to be happy.
Yeah, you're always like, if you say, oh my gosh, the first time I have that video that hits a million views, like my career is solved. I'm a full-time content creator. It's like, no.
That's
like,
just a dopamine hit, my friend.
Exactly. And do they feel good? Oh yeah. I remember my first million view. I was like, dude, I am on top of the world right now. I can fly. And then the next video got like 1,000 views. And I was like, I had no idea what I was doing, right? And I think that that's what a lot of people think. But as Giselle said earlier, it takes a lot of time. You can't think of, I mean, in reality, when you're doing content creation, you're starting a business, right? So you don't think that your business is going to start and grow and explode and be your full-time income in a few months.
I think there's a saying of like, no overnight success is an overnight success.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you look at people in the music industry, for example, like Olivia Rodrigo, quote unquote, blew up during 2020 during COVID when she put out the song Driver's License. And everyone was like, oh, she's an overnight star. But in reality, she had been on Disney Channel for years. She'd been writing music for years. It's just like the illusion of an overnight pop star success. No one's ever really gotten to the top. Same thing with Chapel Roan. Like, she also was huge. Same thing with Sabrina Carpenter. But it took years of success for them to become an overnight success, you know?
Yeah, I think
a lot of grinding.
I think that with everything, you're always going to see the success, right? And everyone I think I've talked about Kobe a couple times. Like, everyone remembers Kobe and Michael Jordan for winning all of these NBA championships, and Tom Brady, they think of all of these rings and him being like the greatest quarterback of all time. But what they don't see is he probably missed more passes and he probably lost more games than most people, just because he's out there thinking about the consistency. And eventually, like, it all starts to compound. Even like Warren Buffett, if you don't know who that is, he's like one of the best investors in the world. He has hundreds of billions of dollars in his portfolio. But the biggest growth that he had was between 50 and 60 years old. Like, it took him 50 years to make, I think, his first $2 billion. And then from there, he's grown to what it is today. So it compounds.
Compounding interest, baby.
Yeah.
It's like the stock market.
I think that, honestly, a lot of creators probably don't burn out from working too hard. They start to burn out because their expectations were disconnected from reality. You set these such high expectations for yourself that when you're putting in the work and you're not hitting it immediately, that's what burns you out. It's not from staying consistent. That's typically not the part that's the hard part.
And I want to add to that, because we do say, like, we've had Brad on here, our mindset guy, and we've said, like, how we set, quote unquote, butt puckering goals, right? Like, really outlandish goals. The purpose of those goals is to not set unrealistic expectations. It's to raise our energy to try and get as close to that level of success as possible. But we're not like punishing ourselves or going in deep in sadness and hiding and being so mad at ourselves if we don't hit those. So I just want to clarify that, because I can see how if you've listened to that and you're like, oh, I thought you told me to set unrealistic expectations, but like slightly different.
Yeah. And I think continuing on with kind of what are the different reasons that we saw, like, or what do we coach people on the most for their root cause of frustration? I think another big one is just like a lack of priority.
100%.
And I think a lot of creators are like, I want this so bad. And let's say you're a creator, you're pushing towards 10, 25,000 followers. You feel like you're doing everything possible. But in reality, like when you look at it, are you posting consistently? Are you taking the time to prioritize studying content? And are you taking editing classes? Or are you watching editing tutorials to make yourself better? Are you trying to analyze hooks and looking at dozens, if not hundreds of different hooks to understand what's going to help you? Are you practicing your storytelling? Like all of these things are things that we do every single week in order to continue to grow. Like even now, we have 1.2 million followers. And could we continue posting the same exact thing? Absolutely. But our priority right now is we want to continue to improve our storytelling, connect with our audience more, and start doing more voiceovers, because that's where we see the industry going. So what are we doing? We're okay taking a couple weeks of not super high engaging posts in order to finally start doing these voiceovers that are, like G said, they're converting really high for us. And that would have never happened if we didn't make it a priority to make all of our videos 1% better. And I think that's a hard reality. If let's say your content's not performing, or I was just having a conversation with someone who's like, I'm sending so many pitches and I just don't understand. And I'm like, okay, well, what if we took the like, what is really bugging you about getting yeses or getting these partnerships? And then maybe it comes down to, are you putting a priority on writing consistent pitches? Are you putting a priority on trying to increase your conversion and your engagement rate? Like there's a lot of things that you can do. And sometimes you're focused so much on
the wrong thing.
Exactly.
It's like going to that example too. A lot of people will be like, I pitch so many brands and I'm not getting responses. I'm like, okay, well, are you prioritizing one, doing organic brand integrations into your page already? Are you prioritizing putting link stickers in your story every week and trying to get as many link clicks as possible? Are you prioritizing trying to drive ROI through many chat funnels? Because if you're not, then you're actually not prioritizing brand partnerships, because you need those things to have proof of and basically return on investment for brands to want to work with you. And the more you do that, the more inbounds you're going to get. You're not even going to have to pitch as much, because that'll be reflected on your page. So I think that is one of the biggest things that we probably say to people is make sure your habits are reflecting your priorities, because you might think that they are, but if you do like a big zoom out and like an audit of, are the things that you are doing in your daily tasks actually moving the needle for this priority? Maybe they are, maybe they're not.
Yeah. So I think that it's honestly a really hard one to take. Like it's hard to look at yourself and have that conversation and be like, dang, I really haven't made. And I mean, I have that conversation with myself all the time about going to the gym and trying to stay in shape, right? Because we were just in Alaska, we were in Chicago, we're home for 3 days, we're gonna go to Greece, then we'll be
gone for a literal month.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're constantly traveling and we're constantly getting schmoozed and getting sent bottles of wine, and you're chatting with friends, and it's like the opportunity cost of am I gonna prioritize waking up at 5 a.m. and going to the gym if that's the only time I have? Am I gonna prioritize, you know, going to bed on time rather than staying out till 2 a.m. playing Settlers of Catan and having an extra martini, you know? And I'm coaching myself right now, guys. But I mean, that it really comes down to figuring out what your priorities are and just being real with yourself and you saying, you know what? This has not been a priority for me. Maybe I need to adjust the things that I'm doing to get a different outcome. And we're really just trying to help you understand, instead of getting frustrated about things you can't control, we want you to really start looking on the inside and thinking about the things that you can control.
And I think with priorities too, it's like, obviously you want to be the healthiest version of yourself. You want to be social. You want to have a successful business. You want to have a family, like enough family time. But ultimately, those are four different things. And like, while we want all those things, you do kind of have to rank them. Like, I remember when Steve and I first started dating, he would tell me his priorities like every year. I thought it was funny. He was like, yeah, these are my priorities right now. One is like work. Two, relationships. Three, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool. Awesome.
But it's so true.
But it's so true. I think it's really important that, especially if you have a partner, that you and your partner have the same level of priorities. So your goals are all aligned going into your business, your family, your relationships, your travels, literally everything. Because if you're not aligned too, and you are a couple in a business, and that could also lead to a lot of frustration and lack of growth.
Yeah. And I mean, that kind of takes us to this next one of like why you'd get frustrated when something happens. And a lot of it really is identity and self-worth. And I think Alex Hormozi said this, but he said that he thinks the greatest like personal development that you could do is being an entrepreneur, because there's so many ups and downs. There's so many switches. There's so much, so many things and variables that constantly are going and up and down. And
you learn so much about yourself and being an entrepreneur.
It's just like what you have to deal with on a daily basis if you're a content creator in this industry. Is like, okay, are my views going up or down? Is it validating? Am I a good creator or a bad creator? Are my followers going up and down? Does that mean that this person's better than me? And if I do think they're better than me, is that hurting my ego? Is it hurting how I show up on like a brand trip? And same thing with brand deals. Like, am I getting rejected, or am I getting my rates? Are they saying I'm not worth how much that I'm pitching them? And all of these really can have an effect on you as a person, I think. Like, if you're constantly getting rejected, and especially if you get all three of these in a month where you're hitting low views, you're losing followers, and you're not getting brand deals, that's like getting three smacks to the head. So I know that it is hard to push through that, and it can feel really disappointing, but at the same time, you can't take any of that personally, right?
It's so much easier said than done when you're saying like, oh yeah, you need to detach your identity from your performance. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that is where doing a lot more like mindset training or therapy or journaling or whatever is really does come in. And because I was saying in the beginning of this episode, like that totally was me in the beginning. Not to the point where I was obsessively like checking analytics or whatever, but I used to have a hard time showing my face up close and personal or doing voiceovers, because if they tanked, I'd be like, oh, nobody likes me. Wah, wah. Now I don't really say that anymore, right?
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. Unfortunate. But then, like, there's a lot of introspection and processing you can do on that topic of like, well, okay, why do I feel like that way? Why do I feel the need to be validated by thousands of internet strangers when I have, like, loving friends and family in my circle? And then from there you can realize, oh, maybe I have people pleasing tendencies. Oh, what do you know? And go on from there and start setting boundaries for yourself. Like, okay, well, what's the worst case scenario if a random stranger I'm literally never going to meet doesn't like my content or like doesn't want to follow me? Literally, it's that they don't follow you. That's the worst case scenario. Or like, maybe they'll say a negative comment, but you're never going to see them again. They're never going to affect your channel. It's really not like anything super crazy. And so like having those conversations with yourself or somebody else can be really enlightening to just chew on and figure out why you are the way that you are and why things on Instagram frustrate you the way that you do. Because like Steve and I are not therapists, right? We're
nowhere close.
Nowhere even close. Steven's literally sent people to therapy.
Hey, that was one time.
It was one time, but that's a story for another time. And like in a good way, guys, in a good way, not in a bad way. And so like we can only give you so much advice, and because we're literally not professional mental health experts, but I would definitely recommend gearing towards doing something like that if this is something you're struggling with.
Yeah, I think that we really want you to ask, why are you feeling this way? Because I think that at a certain point, like the way that we run our business is we call it, it's very process oriented. Everything that we do has a process or has a reason or a system for how we're doing it. And I think that's why we love what we built inside of the Creator Passport, because it basically gives you access to all of the systems and strategies and things that we're doing, right?
The training manuals.
Exactly. And it, instead of running our business off of emotion and vibes and feels, we run our whole business off of processes, every single thing that we do. And I think that when you can switch your business to more of a process dependent business rather than emotion, you stop war. I think a lot of these frustrations don't come. Like, let's say that G and I have a month where we have zero partnerships that come in. We don't gain any followers and we have low views. Do you know what we do instead of going, our life is over? Our dream is over. Instead of doing that, we say, okay, what other streams can we lean on? What other things can we adjust? What can we pivot to so that we can just continue going? There's
so
no
example,
fear. There's
like, if that did happen, I would say, all right, like this would be a full-on conversation between Steve and myself. What's another income stream that's in our control? All right, digital products. So maybe we should put out a new guide, or maybe we should start Facebook ads for our Iceland guide that exists. And then from there, okay, well, are we pushing affiliates? You know what? I should start posting on LTK 3 to 5 times every single day so I can start getting more ROI proof over there and start sending more organic traffic to brands so I get on their radar. So maybe I'll get more inbounds. And then, okay, what's another way I can start trying to make money that's in my control right now? And then we would just keep on going and going from there. But that's literally the kind of mindset approach we have. We're not like wallowing in sorrow that there's nothing in our inbox or that we're not getting followers. And same thing with the growth side of things. Okay, maybe we're getting low views right now. We're doing this. Let's try something new. Let's go post some new trial reels. Let's go repurpose trial reels from, or really successful reels from a year ago, and put them on trials and see if those will perform well again. So we're constantly trying to figure out and pivot what's going to be working, because what got you there won't get you, or what got you here won't get you there. The constant saying that our mentor loves to tell us.
We should start making t-shirts. I feel like we got some sayings up in here.
And so it's all just good stuff to think of when you are having like your decision making, I guess, to catch yourself and be very self-aware of like, what is the first thing that happens in your thought process or your brain when things stop going the way you want them to, or when they don't ever. And so, like, do you start spiraling? Do you stop posting? Or are you strategically pivoting and trying to take control of the things that are actually in your ability to take control of?
Well, I hope that you are starting to see the picture that we are trying to paint for you. Of anytime something happens, I want you to go through this super simple step where it's like, okay, let's say you send a bunch of pitches, and then what part of that is causing your frustration or this, because I'm sure that you've all had that, like that, what would you call it? Like that tightness in your chest, or you're like, oh, or you just that sense of guilt or frustration, or what would you call that?
For what?
For not just it, no, just like in general. And like, you know, when you have those mornings and I'm like coming over, are you okay? And you're like, oh, don't talk to me. You know, like what would you?
It's called being emotional.
Oh, well, okay. So whenever you're starting to get emotional in
when
your
business. Crashing out, there you go.
Okay, there you go.
I had to explain to Steven what a crash out was. It's very funny.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, dude, why are these people talking? Anyway, so when you're crashing out, you need to understand like what part of it is it? If we're talking about pitching, is it sending a pitch? Is it the part about getting ignored? Is it after you hop on a brand call, you get rejected? Is it the burnout of that? Is it resentment of pitching? Like what? And then out of all those things, like what specifically is the thing that is making you feel that way? Is it you hate the feeling of rejection? That's definitely something you can work on. Do you feel like maybe you're just being overlooked? Can you increase your engagement rate or do something to help you not get overlooked? Or do you feel inferior when another creator gets it? Like you just kind of go down these. And then once you identify what the real pain is, you can actually work on it. That's not emotional anymore. It just becomes something that you're constantly improving something on yourself. If it's the fear of rejection, honestly, just normalize the outreach. I call it the cup of coffee mindset. And I feel like people hate when I say that, but it's true. Like it's such a simple metaphor, because every single day, whether it's sunny outside or whether it's cloudy, I'm going to drink my cup of coffee. You know, I'm going to enjoy my morning. Same type of thing as if I was going to post every single day. I know it, whether I'm tired, whether we're traveling, whether, I don't know, if something happens, I'm going to get my post up for the day.
Whether you have low views or high views.
Exactly. Yeah. It's my cup of coffee.
And I think fear of rejection is a big one. And yeah, obviously you can increase your reps, but rejection therapy honestly is so helpful. I just think I've talked about that girl that like made it her goal to get rejected 1,000 times this year. And it's literally insane, the stuff that you can just get by asking. So I truly believe if that's one of the easiest ones to work on, in my opinion, because the fear of rejection really starts to go away once you start doing it over and over and over again. You start getting that the rejection reps in.
Yeah, just make it a part of your every single day. Like I said, our business runs on systems. So every day there's a system for the pitches we're sending out, or the posts that are going live, or the responses we're doing, or when we're going to record a podcast, or when we're going to sit down and record a YouTube. Like, there's a system for everything. And we do that because it's a cup of coffee mindset, where every single day we know that's the plan. If we are just running off of emotion and good vibes, and when I'm feeling inspired, I'm going to go record a YouTube video. Like, no. That's not how you run a business. Do you only go to work or only go to the gym when you're feeling inspired? If that's how you live your life, it's just not going to set you up for consistency. So anyway, why don't we finish off today with going through, if you're trying to figure out and you're like, I don't really know what I can control and what I can't control as a creator, here's a little list for you. So let's talk about should we start with the things they can control or the things they can't control? So if you are going through this list and you're crashing out, and you're trying to identify what are the thing, this is why I'm feeling this way, and this is how I can improve. Obviously, number one is skill development, just improving your craft, improving storytelling.
That's like, you can read a book, you can watch YouTube videos, you can go out and practice new skills.
Improving your consistency, really easy. Increasing the volume of reps, instead of posting one or two, maybe post multiple. Networking, how many DMs or voice memos are you sending out to other people?
Or are you going to like industry events where you can meet people?
Yeah, outreach. Yeah. Are you doing pitches or trying to constantly get out of that mindset? Are you listening to podcasts about mindset? Time management, are you looking at productivity experts to see how you can better manage your time? Are you studying high-level creators?
Oh, I was just going to say time management. We definitely have some podcasts on time management creators.
Do we? Could you improve your hooks, your retention? And this is a hard one. Could you improve your emotional resilience?
Your neuroplasticity, perhaps.
Oh, I love that word. All right, now let's talk about the things you cannot control. We started this, the algorithm. You can't really control that. Number two is timing. You can't really control when things are going to pop off or when they aren't going to pop off, or when someone's going to say yes to you or when someone's going to say no. You can't really control your audience mood, whether they're happy, sad, or whether they're having a bad day and you send them a DM. Like, nothing that you can do about that. You can't really control your competitors. They're just there. You can't control when they're going to post. You can't control if they're going to fail or not. You can't control brands responding. That's out of your control. That's all on them. You gave them the opportunity to work with you. You didn't. It's not. Now it's in their hands. And you can't really control virality. But all of those.
You can influence it, but you can't control it.
Exactly. And we just want you to understand, out of all those things, starting to really take two steps back and understand, why am I getting frustrated or so mad about this? Because that's what's going to lead to burnout. Instead, just treat content creation like a cup of coffee or like the gym. Make it a priority. Go through those things and try and start to understand, how can I set this up in a way to where I do it every single day and there's no questions asked, whether it's rain or shine, you know? But yeah, I hope this episode was helpful. This was a G and I walk over to Chipotle idea that we came up with, and we thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I just think a lot of folks aren't necessarily self-aware to the point where you can really get down to the deeper stuff, or not self-aware, I guess, but not comfortable enough to sit with the comfortable enough to sit with uncomfortable emotions. That's what my therapist always tells me. She's like, you don't. That, and so like I'm saying this because I have lived this. Like I hated sitting in my anxiety or like sitting in like panic before a stressful event, right? Like I would never want to sit there and process what's happening, be meta about whatever I'm thinking in the moment. And so I just think it's a good opportunity to bring this up in the event that you're also just like not realizing that you're even doing this. Cause I certainly thought like, oh, I journal all the time. I read all these mindset books, whatever. And my therapist would just call me on my shit.
So. Bam. All right. Well, with that, we are going to be wrapping up this episode. Don't forget, we have the Creator Passport YouTube channel, and we're almost to 2,000 subscribers, you guys. You've been loving the videos over there. So if you have not already gone and subscribed, make sure to head over there, give us a like and subscribe. Check out, we have a ton of really quick tips over there. As well as we also have the Viral Content Vault. It is officially open. It is your weekly notification for hooks, inspirational videos, and new audios that pop up to help make it save, or help make you save time. How many times are you going to hop on Instagram and doom scroll looking for the next best text hook or the next best audio? Instead, you can just join the Viral Content Vault. It's literally less than a vanilla iced latte, and you get a whole month of ideas sent directly to you. So I'll go ahead and put the link down below if you want to join the Viral Content Vault, or you can always go and check out the Creator Passport Instagram, and inside of the link in bio, we also have the Viral Content Vault there. But with that, we are going to be wrapping up this episode of the Creator Passport podcast, and we will see you next week with another episode. If you enjoyed this episode of the Creator Passport Podcast, make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you want to be the first to know when we open doors to our next cohort for our full signature coaching program, the Creator Passport, make sure to head down below and join our VIP priority waitlist. As soon as you join our waitlist, you will get 2 completely free lessons from our free coaching program. So head down below to join the VIP waitlist. And with that, we will see you next Friday with another episode of the Creator Passport Podcast.